Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the Searching the Scriptures class at 3:30 this afternoon to find the answer to the question, can a Christian lose his salvation? Please refer to your bulletin for other activities scheduled this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this coming week and next Sunday. There will be a deacon board meeting directly following the evening worship service today. You will note in your bulletin also the insert concerning the father and son breakfast. And that will occur on June 16th at the Tomlinson home. And a sign-up sheet will be available next week. And let's invite friends and neighbors and family members. And to have more than 60 is what we'd like to see in attendance. And everyone who is either a father or a son, of course, is eligible. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 66, verse 8. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. We will be singing the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 38, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Thank you.
let us continue our worship with hymn number 269, Under His Wings. As we sing hymn number 40, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Thank you.
Let us pray together. Before we pray, I want to rejoice that Dr. McCormack is back with us. And missionary Dr. Dante Rabinus is right here visiting. And we are glad you're here. Your wife came with you, brother?
She's arriving just now.
Okay, she's arriving now. Okay, praise the Lord. And you're not separated, no? Flying just let's pray together. Lord, we read in the book of Lamentation, it is because of the mercies of the Lord that we are not consumed. And then the testimony of the scripture said, it is his mercy that are renewed every morning. Lord, every time we wake up, we can write a new page in the book of life because you have given us mercy. How faithful you are. Thank you, Father. And so on the basis of your faithfulness, we open the doors of Bethel Baptist Church, and also we open the airways of internet and radio ministry to broadcast the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And then, Father, we also are able to record our sermons in television, in Korean language. We are also able to record the audio and goes into cassette ministry and CD ministries, all free of charge to anybody who wants to. Because the gospel has been paid. Jesus paid it all. We have no right to charge. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. You brought into our mind the seriousness of the gospel. It is not something we have done. It is not something good, even in a sermon. Everything is good is in you, Christ Jesus. And we are so glad that we know you and believe in you. And now, Father, we do have some of our church members and friends who need the touch from above. Dr. McCormack, Donald McDowell, also for Wayne Peach brother, who is in Missouri, Ann Peretto, Loretta Forrest, Mary and Jerry West, and Tom Cooley, who need the touch to set everything right in their life. We thank you for the visit of missionary Dr. Dante Rabinus and his wife Maruja. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to see Dr. McCormack back with us. He's an inspiration, so many years together. I'm so glad that he looks good, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Also, Father, we have missionaries across the world. Fred and Carol Lewis, Carol and Ruth Knott, Eusebio and Marisa Perez, David and Denise Rhodes, Giovanni and Barbara Bendaño, Marta Proretti, Dante and Maruja Rabinus, Jose and Diane Avila, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, the Christian Athletic Association, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey. And Father, as we look forward to have the new building, I also look forward before the new building to have two more missionaries. Because the life of our church is not a building. It is the missionaries that go out and preach the word, the living word. So thank you, Lord, that our church understands that. Thank you, Father, that in 25 years of ministry, we never fail one missionary in their support. Thank you for your people who love to give. And now, Father, bless the giver and bless the offering in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
false and hopeless. Jesus loves. Jesus loves can make you free. For he saved the worst among you, worst among you.
When he
saved the rest like me, the rest like me.
But I do have an update for you on the building of our new facility. The scriptures tell us in Proverbs 11, verse 14, says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And so we're looking, as part of the design and the construction of the new building, for your guys' input. If you've been noticing, I've been carrying a white binder with me the last few weeks. This has all of the stuff that we've been talking about, concept plans and designs, what we think needs to be in the building, and ideas for what goes in those rooms. And so if any of you have any things that you would like to see in particular, or issues that you would like to talk about and to have covered, bring them to me. I can talk to you about what we've got. Talk to Joby about ideas, or Henry as well, and we'll gather these ideas together, munch them around, and figure out what it is that we'll probably actually be building. Because we are limited on square footage, it would be great to have a quarter-mile building where we could put anything and everything, but that's not going to happen. And so we have to, some ideas that we've had to throw out because there's just no room. And so, you know, talk to us, let us know your ideas and your thoughts. And together we shall build a building for service unto the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor, for that report. And thank you, choir, for that beautiful rendition of those hymns. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Exodus. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 65. We will be reading Exodus chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Exodus chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Blessed is God's word. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you have brought us thus far, and we take great comfort in the knowledge that you will be with us to the end of the age and forever. We thank you for giving us the most valuable possession anyone can ever have, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the Holy Spirit, you have made us alive who are dead in sin, all made possible by the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us strength to walk according to your word, we pray. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him as he comes to deliver the truth from the Scriptures. Thank you for this written record, which stands forever. We pray for all those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that they may benefit in every way from today's message and draw closer to Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you. Before I start with the study this morning, I just received a call from heaven. Brother Joe Forrest is just laughing and applauding. And that was a favorite son of Joe Forrest. Some of you who are old here remember Joe Forrest, a great man that came from me with me from Liberty Baptist, where I was a pastor and a counselor, second pastor and counselor. I was in the seminary and completing my seminary there, and I was serving the church, and I taught a class of 300 people with a class in Spanish and also in English, and Joe Forrest, and really came with me here to this, to start the church at now Shadow Mountain. The Shadow Mountain was Valley Church at that time, and it was ready to close and be sold. And we started that church and raised it to 400 people, praise God. This morning, I want to address the topic of Christian living, and the first thought that comes to me on Christian living is the faithfulness of God. And the second sermon that I will address to you will be on principles that makes in a strong marriage. I will have a sermon today, and my next sermon will be at the end of the month. There will be Ramil Laudet preaching at the coming Sunday, and Brother Pastor Thompson in the evening. I will be in Oregon, where my Jacqueline graduated from high school. Chance to say goodbye also, as she will fly eventually to Boston University. And then on the other Sunday, missionary Eusebio Perez and his wife Marisa are here from Spain, and they are making a tour, and they will be a whole day with us. Missionary Perez is a man born in Spain, served the American Army there in Spain, and after completed his service, he turned to be a missionary. He's a great preacher. I have preached in his church in Benalmadena. You people should go over there. It is amazing. Right on the Mediterranean, you are there, and your preaching is just wonderful. And our church had a very instrumental effort and keep our missionary there in the area. So today we're going to address an issue our brother read already in the scripture on Christian living. Actually, I want you to know one thing. I want you to know that God's care. I want you to believe that. The joy that we have in preparing a new building for this church, having all the money available to do it, is because God's care. God really cares. I know you're going to open your Bible in Exodus, but before you do it in Exodus, go to the book of Romans in chapter 8 in the book of Romans, in verse 28, page 1230. 1230. Romans 8:28. We all know this verse. And remember my principle in teaching the scripture, whatever the New Testament said, you can see it in the Old Testament. Alright? The New Testament is contained in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is explained in the New Testament. Whatever the New Testament says, you can see it in the Old Testament. Now look at what the scripture says. And we know. Now it's not the word ginosko, which means we have experienced these. It's the word oida, means we have mental knowledge of these. We have intellectual knowledge of these. You know, God is so careful in choosing words. The word to know, ginosko, means I have done these before, and now I know it works. Like a child goes to a fireplace and touch the fireplace, knows that the fireplace really is hot. So that child knows, ginosko. But oida, you go to a school and they tell you 2 + 2 = 4, and you believe it. And you say 2 + 2 = 4. Then you grow up and then you have $2 + $2 = $4. Then you go to ginosko. Alright? Now here's the word. And we intellectually know that all things, not some things, your sickness, death in the family, your failures in school, all things work together for good. Now, only for certain kind of people. Not for everybody, but for certain kind of people. Now look in the Bible, what kind of people? All these work for good to them that love God. See it? All right. Now, you say, well, Pastor, you don't understand my life. You don't understand this or the other. Forget about yourself now for a moment. And remember that God promised Eve that through her will be the salvation of many. Through the birth of a woman will come a Savior. That on his death, God will be pleased and will forgive those that God grant them to believe in him. Centuries and millenniums before that man came in, Satan had a great plan how to stop God to bring Jesus to this earth. That was Satan's plan. I had to stop God to bring Jesus into place. Alright? Now you are in Exodus now. Go to Exodus. And let me tell you a few things about Exodus in case you don't know. The very first passage of Exodus deals with a great theme of the deliverance of God's people. God had delivered Israel in the past. Therefore, the implication is very clear. God will deliver Israel in the future. No matter what the trouble may be, no matter how terrifying and hopeless, no matter how helpless the circumstances may seem, God will deliver Israel again and again, just as he did in the past. And we are in Exodus chapter 1. God always cares for his people. Can you get it? God always cares for His people. He always saves them when they were in trouble, no matter what the circumstances are. And I want to mention some. Disease, sickness, suffering, death, loneliness, emptiness, hunger, broken heart, backsliding, loss of a spouse, unemployment, poverty, thirst, imprisonment. God always delivers His people. Even if the situation is terrifying and hopeless, even if we are helpless, God will deliver and save us through all the circumstances. He will even work the terrifying circumstances for our good. That's what Romans 8:28 said. He will get those terrifying moments of our life, these unexpected moments of our life, and work those things for our good. God will deliver us, and God will save us from everything. That's my sermon. And I want to prove it from the scripture. There is a picture here in Exodus chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. Not just of names. There is a picture of one family who survived 400 years of slavery. That's what it is. And so I'm going to work like this. From verses 1 to 5, we're going to see God's deliverance. And from verses 6 and 7, we're going to see how faithful is God. And my goal is that when you go to the Lord's Supper at the end of the service, you say, oh boy, we have this Christ because God is faithful. Oh boy, we celebrate the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the application of that blood to our heart because God is faithful. And you will see it. And it's just a little section. Not 6,000-7,000 years, but just in a little section of 400 years, you will see what took place. Let's talk about God's deliverance. I'm going to read again Exodus chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. And the names of these people will be in the Hebrew accent for you. Now, these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zabulon, and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt. And the translator had the word already. If the Hebrew said Joseph was in Egypt. You don't have to say already. But the translator put that on. God delivered and saved His people Israel some 400 years earlier. He had led them, every member of Jacob's household, down into Egypt. And you need to know that. It's in the Bible. Is in Acts chapter 7 verse 6, page 118. Acts chapter 7 and verse 6, page 118, and then 8:8. God delivered Israel and sent Israel into Egypt. And God spake on this wise, that His seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and inflict them evil 400 years. God brought Israel, the family. Remember, God chose Abraham, and then His son Isaac, and then His son Jacob. When you talk to the Jew and you say to a Jewish person, who are your fathers? They will say, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
when I want to identify myself with an Arab, I said, my fathers are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they really hate it. Because they don't understand the implications of that. But here's what it is. This family, God, who said that through Abraham, remember the promise, we're going to see it in the scripture, to Abraham, that through your seed the nations will be blessed. Now God brings these people right there into Egypt. Why? God, why? Here is why. Because Israel was not behaving like the chosen seed, the people of God. The family of Jacob was about to lose its godly identity. They were not living clean lives. They were not protecting the purity of God's family, and that's what God is really zealous. I'll show it here. There was a moral decay within the family of God. Listen to it. There was a moral decay within the family of God. The sons were living in moral violence and lossless lives. Let's go back to Genesis. You are in Exodus, Genesis 34. And from verses 1 to 17, I'm going to show you the sinfulness in the family of God. All right? Look at here, Genesis chapter 34, and I'm going to start reading in verse 1 to 17. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul cleave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel, and he spake kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. Now you got to understand, that's how people get married at that time. The son will say, oh, I like the so-and-so daughter. And then the father will go to their home and say, well, I'd like to buy your daughter for my son. All right? Now, verse 5. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. These are the Canaanites, now they came in with Jacob. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved, and they were very wrath, because he had brought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which things ought not to be done. And Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. I pray you, give her him to wife, and make ye marriage with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. Do you see the proposal of the world to the people of God? Verse 10, and ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade ye therein, and get your possessions therein. Just to make it thing enthusiastic, he said, here's some money. You can really do some investments. See, if you came to my land and you mix with me, you really get money. Money is the root of all evil. Verse 11, and Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me, I will give. Ask me never so much dowry, and give, and I will give according as ye shall say unto me. But give me the damsel to wife. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, and said, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister, and they said unto them, we cannot do these things to give our sister to one that is circumcised, for that they were a reproach unto us. But in this will we consent unto you. If ye will be as we are, that every male of you be circumcised, then will we give you our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. Now these are the believers talking to unbelievers. Now deceitfully. Verse 17. But if ye will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughter and we will be gone. Now, look to verse 24. That was a really deceitful treatment. Look at what happened. Verse 24 to 27. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem, his son hearken, all that went out of the gate of his city, and every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of his city. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword, and came upon the city boldly, and they slew all the males, and they slew Hamor, and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house, and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain, and spoiled the city, because they had defiled their city. There was deceitfulness in God's people. Here are the people of God, who are supposed to be clean as can be, before God, and they act deceitfully. Not only that, if you go to chapter 37, and verses 18 to 18, there was envy. Look in chapter 37. There was envy. Chapter 37, verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before, remember, this is Joseph, he came near unto them, these are the brothers, and they conspired against him to slay him. When they saw Joseph, they wanted to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer come. Remember that he got a dream? He said, people will bow before me and so on. He told them the truth. And the brothers were with envy of their own brother. Now these are believers. Alright? And if you want, go to chapter 38. And immorality in chapter 38. Look at what happened in the children of God. Chapter 38 and verse 12 to 18. And in the process of time, the daughters of Shua, Judah's wife, died, and Judah was comforted and went up into his shepherd's shears to Timanath and his friend Hira and Adulamai. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goes up to Timanath to share his sheep. And she put her widow's garments off from her, and covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnah, for she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot, because she had covered her face. And he turned unto her by the way and said, go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee, for he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? I don't have time to read the whole story. But isn't it amazing? These are the people of God. And you think that God will say, oh, too bad. Don't ever play with that thought. The people were prospered in the land of Hoshen. The people were moved with power by God. And then what they do? They took liberties. Deceitfulness came in. Envy and immorality. And you think that God will say, well, that's all right, they're my people, and I forgive them? My friend, if you think in that way, you are wrong. The families was being immersed in the worldliness of their environment. They were following the lifestyle of the people who live around them, of unbelievers and of the Canaanites. And tragically, they became attracted by the bright lights and the immoral and ungodly practice of their neighbors. They were adopting and becoming submerged under the Canaanite way of life. That's what they did. Through intermingling and intermarriage, they faced the threat to become a part of the Canaanite people, and Satan was so happy, so God could never bring the Messiah. Otherwise, that is Satan's plan. I will not bring the Messiah. Don't you think if you're a believer and Satan is not around you, read 1 Peter 5:8. You have a great day today? Well, Satan is right there at the door to get you. What will God do? This Satan is powerful. This nation of 6 million people are going wild. What can God do? I tell you, God did three things to help these people to become the people that He wants to be. Number one, God took one of the sons of Jacob and set him up as a ruler over Egypt. Go to Genesis 41, please, and look with me verse 39 and verse 40. God took one son. You know the story of Joseph. The guy went into hell before, but God brought him way up. And look at verse 39 in chapter 41 and verse 40. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God has showed thee all things, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art." And look at what God said. This is God set up this guy. "Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne I will be greater than you." So God started working not with 300,000 people. God worked with one who said, "God, do what you want with me." God doesn't need 300,000 people. Remember Gideon? He works with one. And he said, "All right, son, you're going to go through hell for a little bit." And if Pete, remember, in the house of Potiphar, and then in jail, and then in jail, when you are forgotten, and when nobody cares about you, I care about you, and I will bring you to Pharaoh. And he bring a famine in the land, and Pharaoh said, "We need help." And one guy said, "Oh, I remember a little boy over there, a Hebrew boy, who has the keys of the jail. He knows." He became. God said, "All right. Piece number one in the chess game. Get the power way up on the front. First, checkmate. Second, God caused the entire family to move away from the worldly temptation and influence of the Canaanite. He used a famine to drive them down into Egypt. Look to chapter 41, verse 56, please. Look at what God is. Now, I have to deal with the rest of the family. All right? That's what He does. He takes the rest of the family, and look at what he does. "And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto Egyptians, and the famine was sore in the land of Egypt, and all the countries came unto Egypt to Joseph for buying corn, because that famine was so sore in the land." Chapter 42, verse 1. "Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his son, 'Why do you look one upon another?' And he said, 'Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down tighter and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die.'" So God brings a crisis. When I look the newspaper, and when in the coffee shop, everybody trying to understand the democratic way and the republican way, I say, "Ladies and gentlemen, I wonder what God will do." And they look to you like you are a nut. You know, I expect it. They're unbelievers. God, look at how God's smooth. He take one man and said, "You be prime minister." First, God humbled that man to nothing. And then He raised that man to the top. And then He get the family that He wants from that family, the Messiah, to come. And said, "Well, the land, they don't know how to enjoy goodness, so I'm going to make that people suffer." So they become holy. You know, when you lose everything, you become so holy. You pray day and night. You be in prayer meeting day and night here. If you get cancer all over your body, you will be saying, "Pastor, why one night to pray? Let's have every day prayer meeting." That's true. That's God doing. So God did the second move. All right? He needs to take those people out of there. And He moved on. Third move that God did. God placed the family beside the Egyptian, a people who consider them an abomination, totally unacceptable. A people who would have nothing to do with them. Go to chapter 46 with me, in Genesis and verse 34. Chapter 46 and verse 34. that ye shall say, thy servant's trade have been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is what? An abomination to the Egyptian. So God now had done the chess game. First, to protect them in the future, put one of their sons on the top. Then, to protect the family from becoming intermingled with unbelievers, he sent it to Egypt. And to protect that they will not do it again, they put it with people who hate them. So nobody is going to marry them because they hate it. You remember when Joseph told Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, oh, bring your father. He said, sir, my father is a shepherd. And you, I have been in places where they discriminate you. My father is a shepherd. And Pharaoh said, who cares? That's also God. But a shepherd is an abomination before God. So I can see, you know, what you see as a pastor, I see sometimes God moving in your life. And what you think is bad, I think is good. Remember Romans 8:28. It's not a formula. Everything works together. Man, you have to go through years of suffering sometimes. So God moved these people. Now, notice two significant facts about God's past deliverance. God delivered Israel down to the Egyptian district of Goshen, delivered them about 400 years before the event of the reading today. Before the scripture that our brother read today, that's 400 years of history. You read the newspaper today, oh, we are back free, but it's 400 years of history. Every member of Jacob's family went down into Egypt, 70 descendants. Remember that we read it right here in Exodus chapter 1. Now these are the name of the children of Israel, which came out of Egypt, every man according to household. And verse 5 said, and all the souls that came out of the lions of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was already in Egypt. I learned something about it. God always delivers you, no matter how bad the circumstances, how terrible the sin and shame, how severe the pain, how frightening are the news. God always cares. God cares for us. God will deliver us through all the crises and trials of life, no matter how painful those trials may be. And I give you a verse of the Bible to confirm it. It's in Psalm 116. Verse 8 and 9, page 701. Psalm 116, verses 8 and 9, page 701. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, said David, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I'll read it again because it's a beautiful verse. Look at how David divided. For thou hast delivered my soul. That's the essence of you. That's who you are. God has delivered, Psalm 116, verse 8. God has delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. God has delivered everything in David's life. Wow. Wow. God always cares. Also, I learned something else. To the natural mind, Egypt will be the last place a person will choose as a place of refuge. If the choice was left to Jacob, and God will say to Jacob, where would you like to go? He will say Spain. Spain was already in existence. He will say Spain. But you know, who will think that Egypt, the people that hate you, will be the best place for you? Nevertheless, Egypt was God's place. How often we miss God's blessings because we give ourselves into the ways of the world instead of following the way of God. Read the scripture. Find out the way. And do it. Or you get in trouble if you're a child of God. Far, far too many of us have left the way of God and become immersed in the worldliness of our environment and suffer moral decay. God's way is always, without exception, the best way. Choose Psalm 18 and verse 30. Psalm 18 and verse 30, page 644. Look at what the scripture says. As for God, His way is perfect. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to those who trust in Him. Ladies who are married, you want to change your husband all around, submit to him. Oh, Pastor, you live in the 21st century. I don't care what century it is. I tell you, you want to have, ladies, you want to have your husband in the palm of your hand, you submit to him. Why? How do you know? God say it. The psychologist will tell you something different. The psychiatrist will give you a pill, but God will give you hope. You see? Now, because my time, and I, guys on the radio, cheat the other guy and give you 10 more minutes. That's just it. I want to talk about God's faithfulness. You see the deliverance of God? When we disobey God, He smashes us to nothing to deliver us from our own problem. You know who is the worst enemy? It's not your neighbor. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's you and me. We are the worst enemy. And so God smashes us so that He can bring the Son of God through the race. Now I want to show you God's faithfulness. God proved faithful and kept fulfilling His promise down through all generations. What promise? The promise of the promised seed. The promise to create a great nation out of the people. Keep in mind this. Why God had appointed Israel to be a great nation? Some Israel's people are a little proud. And they tell me, I'm a Christian Jew. I say, cut. You just say, I'm a Christian. Cut the word over there. Don't say a Christian Jew. Because they want to impress me with their background. Say, cut it out. When I taught Hebrew together with a professor of Jews for Christ, he said that. The first time I met him, he said, I'm a Christian Jew. Cut it off. I said, what did I do wrong? That's on Sunday, Jew. Like, you want to impress people. Now listen. God worked this out. Now let's look to the promise. Go back to Genesis chapter 12. I want to read it for you. God, great promise to Abraham. I want you to see it. God made a promise to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of the country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. That was the promise. But do you see what Satan was doing? Israel was becoming a great nation, so Satan wanted to intermarriage them so they lose the identity of a great nation. Now God make a promise to Isaac. Isaac was Abraham's son. Go to Genesis 26 now and look at verses 2 and 5. Genesis 26, verses 2 and 5. And look what God said. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed, singular, I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandment, my statutes, and my laws. Boy, grandparents are really good. If a grandpa is faithful, that faithfulness goes into four generations. Amazing. God made a promise to Isaac. But God made a promise to Jacob. and Jacob was Abraham's grandson. Chapter 46. You can go to chapter 46, verse 2 and verse 3. Look at the promise that he made. And God spoke unto Israel, and the vision of the night, and said, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make thee a great nation. Amazing. There in this spot where everything is tough. There in this spot that is hot. There I will show you my glory. Ladies and gentlemen, when you are in a trial, when you are in this the worst part of your life, there God is going to show you who he is. If you trust him and you believe in him. If you go back to Exodus chapter 1 and in verse 7, Exodus 1:7, the Bible says, in the land that nobody cares about the Jewish people and everybody wants to kill them, the Bible says in Exodus 1:7, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and was exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. And the point to see is God's faithfulness. God was faithful to his promise. He was fulfilling his promise. Glorious fulfilling. He was causing the promised seed, the descendant of Israel, to grow into a great and mighty nation that was too soon numbered more than 2 million people in the land. Israel was becoming the great people of God. They believed God. And they follow God after God has preached them for 400 years. Final teaching. God is faithful. He's always faithful. He will keep every promise he ever made. God will keep every promise he ever made. Number one, God promised to send the promised seed to the world. And he did. Don't look on it, but in Luke Gospel chapter 2 verse 11, the Bible said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is the Messiah, the Lord. 6,800 years. Is God faithful? Can you trust it with your income? Can you trust it with your children? My heart broke down. Well, my super Jacqueline, I have 3 granddaughters, but Jacqueline is a super. My super granddaughter said, I go to Boston. From the time they were born, Mama worked. So she paid the Christian school and saved money for this moment. And we have a good amount of money saved for her. I always work through the parents. I respect Danny because Danny is the head of the home. And I will not talk to Midian. I will talk to Danny. He's the head of the home. And I work through the head always. And I said, Raquel, how much can we protect him? Is the money we have enough? And then I quickly came to senses. It's not the money you have in saving that we protect her. It's the God that protects your daughter, Gabriel. It's the same God that will protect her. Let's face it, it's hard to let a child go far away. It's hard. But I have, as your pastor, to practice that trust. The same God that protected her in the high school, the same God that protected her when she drives, because she drives very funny, she doesn't look. I tell you, I'm scared to death to sit beside her. And I gave my beloved car to her. I tell you, the same God will protect my darling in Boston. For some unknown reason to me, she chose that when she had many choices. It was God's choice. I told her, and I go this coming week to talk to her face to face. Are you sure that this is God's choice? That's the only thing I want to know. That the only thing we should know. We pray for this church to have a place to preach the gospel. The city said, you cannot be there. With Brother Kasanjan, we went back and forth. I paid so many breakfasts to the mayor and to the planner. No, we cannot do it. I thought if I go to court and fight, and I had good lawyers on land, I maybe spend $500,000 and win. And then I had no money to build. So I said, Lord, we pray, everyone tonight, blessed for the right developer. For 10 years, new developers will come in. I said, $10 million, $5 million. They're scared to death and they leave. Finally, one said, we will do it. And we are in the process. We're in the process of closing a deal that God, that we pray. We already purchased the land in faith. And God is narrowing down more and more the process. It took 10 years in prayer. Whatever happened to our church took 10 years in prayer. I was trained by the good Sherman pastor. He said, for 25 years we were 200 people in a tent. And I will not make a move until I have $5 million in my hand to buy the land. One day. And Highway 4, right to New York. There was 23 acres. And I went and looked at it. I sold myself, my silk business. Got $5 million. And I talked to my people. And they put the rest of the money. And we got $40 million. And I gave them. What you're seeing here today, let me show you the photos, Pastor Herman Brownlee. Let me show you the pictures where we started. I'm 55 years pastor of this church, and I'm joined the last four, he said. He was 90. What a great man of God. He said, stay in one place. Just stay there because that's God's place. And never make a move. Just watch God makes the move and follow God's move. Just like Israel did on the wilderness. And you will arrive. And the new pastor will enjoy your faithfulness to God. I want to be that man for you. That when somebody take over, Brother Greg or whatever God has, you will enjoy, not me and my ingenuity, the faithfulness of God. My brother and my sister, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Yes, because God is faithful. And protect the family. The same God that is faithful to protect Israel is the same God that will protect you and me if we believe His promise. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that the Bible was so clear today. There is nothing in this world that will stop you to be a blessing to people. There is nothing in this world that will stop to fulfill your promise. God, we are humans. We have a lot of insight from ourselves. But we have the book, Father. And we have your will. Oh God, keep your church clean. Keep our life clean. That we may be a blessing to others. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness. That we can have Jesus now resurrected at the right hand of the Father. Because you were faithful. In Jesus we thank you. Amen.